Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you so much for checking out another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the support, as always. Back after a little week or two break there. Apologize about it, but, you know, busy season. Everybody's kind of in their mid-season grind. Had some schedule stuff come up, but we're back with another episode. If you're new to listening to the podcast, we try and do new episodes once every week, but we'll get back to a pretty consistent regular schedule here, I promise. But you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive if you're not already. New episodes of this show come out every Friday. And if you want to, you can follow the show on Instagram at the Dynasty Drive. You can like the show on Facebook, and you can become a patron of the Rookie Big Board over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, where you can gain a ton of access to excellent content, including rankings and all that good stuff, for as low as $3 a month. So definitely make sure to do that if you haven't already. We are, kind of crazy to say, but working our way towards the end of the college football season. The NFL season is halfway done. You've taken inventory. You know whether your team's a contender or you're in that rebuild phase. And it'll be NFL draft season before we know it. Look, I'm not trying to rush the rest of the NFL season away, make it end faster than it's going to or faster than it needs to. But I love the NFL draft. I love the college to NFL transition. I love college football. And that's always been one of the most fun things about playing Dynasty, and obviously Devy as well, but playing Dynasty specifically are those inbound rookies, the rookie draft, kind of the lifeblood of your team, accumulating picks and rebuilding that way. And what I wanted to do on today's show, I said we would do it last week, but I got caught up with some stuff, is to kind of dive into the 2023 wide receiver class, because it's kind of interesting. There was some hype coming into the year after many years of consistent, wide receiver hype and a lot of times, big-time production from these rookie wide receivers. So the initial question, I think, coming in was, can 2023 live up to previous year's billing of 2022, which was a good class, 2021, which was a good class? And if you need to remember how far back and how long this goes, go back to 2018, right? The 2018 draft class, we got Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, Michael Gallup. The 2019 draft class, we had DK Metcalf, Hollywood Brown, AJ Brown, N'Keal Harry. We're not going to talk about that one, but Deebo Samuel. 2020, we had CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, just player after Henry Ruggs, obviously the off-field stuff threw it off. And then 2021, of course, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Elijah Moore, and then Drake London, Garrett Wilson. The list goes on of these super productive, highly touted wide receivers. It feels like we've been hitting on rookie wide receivers in dynasty leagues for forever. And can 2023 live up to the same hype? So let's start with, some of the guys we talked about a lot coming into the season. And I think what better place to start than when Jackson Smith Ajigba from Ohio State, who he's been hurt. We haven't seen it this year. And it's kind of funny to me now that because we haven't seen it this year, we're starting to poke holes in it, right? Despite the fact that a year ago it was, oh, JSN is as good as he is at Ohio State as a sophomore, with two future first-round draft picks playing alongside of him in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, who we all liked, especially here on this podcast, who we liked. But last year, more often than not, we were saying, oh, JSN's going to be the best of the bunch. JSN's going to be the best of the bunch. And then there was a little bit of, is it just because he's not getting all the attention with Olave and Garrett Wilson there? And then the Rose Bowl without him, right? He had, three touchdowns and almost 350 yards receiving. JSN's the real deal. And we haven't seen it this year because he's been hurt and missed some time and nursing this hamstring injury. JSN just got to shut it down, get ready for the draft. This is still my wide receiver one. Jackson Smith and Jigba, we're going to freak out. I think people will freak out if he doesn't run the perfect 40 time, but that's just not his game. This is a technician. He's an excellent route runner. He has excellent body control. He's got terrific hands. We've seen, in my opinion, what we needed to see from Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and we saw it a year ago, right? So maybe we didn't get the huge 2022 that we would have hoped for, but I'm not ready to start poking holes in JSN not being a top-tier player. He's still wide receiver one for me coming into the 2023 NFL draft, and maybe that says something about some of the players around him as well, who, you know, some have elevated their stock, but others have disappointed or haven't kind of also taken that next step or that next logical step in their progression. So I think it's kind of short-sighted to poke holes in JSN. Oh, he's not going to have top-end speed. He's not going to be an athlete. He plays from the slot. He wins from the slot. I'm not going to, like, the plays from the slot thing, okay, it's real, but you can move your best players to the slot in the NFL as well. Smart teams do this all the time, right? And a player who, of course, has helped his stock with a terrific 2022 in college football so far is Jordan Addison, the former Pitt Panther, transfers to USC. All he did was win from the slot last year, just like JSN. But it feels like Jordan Addison is moving his stock in the opposite direction, right? Because he's been on the field and he's been showing out and he's terrific. And Jordan Addison is a riser for me too. I said privately with somebody the other day that I think when it's all said and done, he really could be solidified as my wide receiver two in this class. And I didn't know that it would get there a year ago. Like, I thought he was really good at Pitt, but I just didn't know. Obviously, I knew the production would be there, but he's been great, and I think he can really thrive in the modern NFL. The point being, I think him and JSN can both show out at the NFL, both in the slot and outside. We've seen Jordan Addison go outside more this year than he did at Pitt. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think, is just so unique in how good he is from the slot. Like, I think he can really be a special sort of difference maker there at the NFL level. But I think he can win outside. I think you can move him around. I think you can be creative with him. And I think he could be a team's lead wide receiver on their professional offense as well. My guy in this class, who I'm not ready to write off that he could be wide receiver two for me, he's probably holding firm right now in that wide receiver three spot, is Quentin Johnston from TSU. Had the slow start to the season, and I think people were disappointed that it didn't start popping off the stat sheet early on. But despite that slow start, it really got rolling eventually in the middle of the season here. Week 5, 14 catches for 206. Week 6, 8 catches for 180. 4 for 74, 4 for 76. Still a premier downfield threat, a premier X receiver that's going to win with length, size, and his ability to really threaten in the vertical game. I love Quentin Johnston, and I really expect the NFL to love him also. I will not be shocked at all if Quentin Johnston gets top 10 draft capital. I really won't, because I think the NFL covets these sort of quote-unquote prototypical X-type outside boundary wide receivers, despite smaller wide receivers continuing to make waves in the NFL. A team will fall in love with what Quentin Johnston can be, even if we don't ever get that one full college season of just video game stat numbers or video game box score. The potential of what he can become will keep NFL teams, and I think will keep a lot of fantasy managers interested as well. And we see it every year. We saw it with Treylon Burks a year ago, the potential of what he could be, right? And not that Treylon Burks didn't show out statistically in college, but I think an NFL team will fall in love with what Quentin Johnston could be, and that his best production could be ahead of him at the NFL level rather than some of these other players. Like, will NFL teams find themselves wondering, is sophomore year Jaxon Smith-Njigba the best version of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? Like, is there more ceiling after that, untapped potential after that? Not to say JSN sophomore year was bad or disappointment, and it was 1,600 yards. But will a team wonder what sort of meat is left on the bone with Quentin Johnston, right? Like, what's left for there? What's left for him to get there? Kayshon Boutte in the class is the LSU wide receiver. I don't want to say I'm not the biggest Kayshon Boutte guy, because that's probably unfair. Super athletic, love the player, absolutely electric, can be a real difference maker. I think the thing for me, I feel like a lot of people are still in love with what Kayshawn Boutte can be. And I feel like a lot of times some of those same people kind of poke holes in somebody like Quentin Johnston's game. But I think, you know, you're kind of banking on untapped potential with both of these players, right? Boutte, if he puts it all together, can be special, no doubt. 735 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns as a freshman back in 2020. And I hope he puts it all together. Right now, he feels like a guy to me that I'd probably be a little bit shocked if he got first round draft capital. I think he's more like a top end round two guy. I think he's a top 50 player in the 2023 NFL draft. But it would kind of shock me at this point to see him go round one. If he does go round one, he's going to be consistently going round one in rookie drafts. And to be fair, I think in rookie drafts, you'll see a lot of JSN, you'll see a lot of Jordan Addison. But this is a year that I wonder how much of the wide receiver class gets pushed down to round two or even round three, because the depth at wide receiver is fun. Maybe it's not so loaded at the top like it was with obviously Chase and Waddle, or, you know, Garrett Wilson, Olave, Jameson Williams. But I don't know. I think the running back class is so good. You have to think, okay, in Superflex rookie drafts in the first round, you're getting Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and depending on draft capital, probably more often than not, Will Levis, right, towards at least the back end of round one. But let's call it the two quarterbacks for sure, Stroud and Young. Figure you're getting Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, likely somebody like Sean Tucker, and likely somebody like Zach Evans, maybe Blake Corum, depending where he goes. You're going to get a lot of running backs in round one this year. I really think that this running back class is going to have people kind of chomping at the bit a little bit. So does somebody like Boutte, if he doesn't go till, you know, round two of the NFL draft, does he fall towards the back end of round one or early round two in rookie drafts come rookie draft season? And there's a lot of players at wide receiver that kind of fit in that bucket for me of how early or how late are they going to go, and could they be values on draft day? And it really feels like round two and round three could be the sweet spot at kind of hammering home some of this wide receiver talent this year. The one player that I feel like nobody was really talking about early on in the process, early on in the college season, who has blown up statistically, and he's going to be a first-round player, I really believe that, is Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee. If you don't think Jalin Hyatt is going to go in the first round of the NFL draft, I wonder if you thought that about Jameson Williams as kind of the parallel that I'm seeing. And not that they're the same exact player, but Jalin Hyatt has speed for days. He's got 51 catches, 970 yards, and 14 touchdowns in that Tennessee offense right now. A legitimate, you know, game-breaking speed, kind of deep threat. And the NFL covets speed, covets it. Look at a team like Miami who, you know, they invest in Jalen Waddle, and then they go and get Tyreek Hill. Just speed. We're just going to try and outrun you every week, right? Game-breaking speed like that gets drafted in round one. And I really think Jalin Hyatt will go in round one for that alone. I know some people like Cedric Tillman at Tennessee more than Hyatt. I think Hyatt's speed is pretty special, and it'll get him first-round draft capital. And I think you'll probably see him, you know, maybe sneak into top of the second round, back end of round one rookie draft. I think he's going in the top 32 picks in the NFL draft when it's all said and done. So he's someone that I'm interested to see what happens with. But also, you know, Josh Downs, you know, another premier kind of slot player who's super athletic, can win vertically, does a ton of good work from the slot. I've played him a little more outside, but it's mostly on screens and kind of quick hit stuff. It's not like he's running a ton of vertical routes as a boundary receiver, but he's somebody that I think finds his way going top of the second round, similar to where we saw top of the second round of the NFL draft, I should say. And maybe that translates to top of the second round of rookie drafts as well. Kind of right in that spot where Elijah Moore got taken by the Jets a couple of years ago. Slot player. You know, does he fall just outside of round one for size concerns? And then somebody like Zay Flowers at Boston College, Marvin Mims at Oklahoma, Parker Washington at Penn State, Rakeem Jarrett at Maryland. There's a ton of guys that I think can be good NFL players that are just going to get pushed down a little bit, both in the NFL draft, just for positional, other teams, more pressing positional needs than at wide receiver. And, you know, by proxy, get pushed down in rookie drafts as well because of what comparatively to the past, you know, handful of years looks like a pretty loaded running back class. There's going to be a lot of, like, a big infusion of running back talent at the NFL level in this 2023 draft class. And I think you can be poised to score some really nice value at wide receiver in rookie drafts because of it. And that's not to say, you know, zig when everyone zags and pass up on these running backs, because I love this running back class. There's a ton of fun players, and a lot of them deserve to go in round one. Bijan, we know, is special. Jahmyr Gibbs is absolutely a first-round rookie player, or a first-round rookie draft pick. Sean Tucker is somebody that I've been vocal about being a big fan of. Zach Evans has crazy potential at the NFL level if he can keep it all together. There's just not going to be room for all these receivers to go in round one like we've seen over the past couple of years. Somebody else, and it feels like it would be kind of a disservice to not bring him up here since he leads college football in receiving yards right now, is Rashee Rice from SMU. 71 catches for 1068 and 8 touchdowns right now as of recording this on Thursday, November 10th. Rice is a player, and he's somebody that I think could really find himself being a top 50 draft pick when it's all said and done too. I don't think he's making it out of day two, and I'd be surprised if he made it out of round two, honestly. So we'll see what happens. It's just one other guy that, while I'm thinking about him, that doesn't get talked about a ton, and he's not like the buzziest sort of player. Two other players, I should say. Sorry, one guy I forgot. Let's throw another kind of slot-esque guy out there, Jacob Cowing at Arizona. Productive. Been productive all through his playing days. He's another player that probably going to do most of his work from the slot. We saw a lot of it at UTEP. 2021 at UTEP, had over 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's got 846 and 7 touchdowns this year for Arizona. So he's somebody else that I'll be interested to see if he goes kind of in that Josh Downs sort of range, or how far off from that Josh Downs range. So he's the one guy. The other guy that I feel like doesn't get mentioned a ton, because he's maybe not, you know, he's a senior, not an underclassman, not the flashiest sort of prospect, is Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State. Leads the NCAA in receptions right now with 87. He's got 87 catches for 953 and 6 touchdowns. He's mostly a solid possession guy, but those guys find their way on NFL rosters. And maybe he's not somebody that'll ever be, you know, a top 12 dynasty wide receiver or anything like that. But I bet you he's somebody that's going to carve out a role at the NFL level. And that translates, like, so, you know, we saw this past year, guys like Alec Pierce kind of consistently fall into the third round or late second round in a lot of rookie drafts. And, you know, we've seen flashes here and there, and Indianapolis is kind of a mess right now, but somebody that I think has already shown he's got talent to play at the NFL level. And not that Xavier Hutchinson is the same exact player, but I think there's something to be said for that, and he'll find his way, hopefully, into a situation that can help him utilize his talents and skill set early on in his career, but definitely can carve out a role on a roster as a, you know, a solid second guy, or, you know, like a 2A, 2B kind of deal, not the lead receiver on a team. And maybe he could, who knows? I don't want to say he's never got that potential, but as a second guy, a possession kind of guy, I think he could really find a role and solidify that role for himself in the 2023 NFL draft. So that's just kind of some quick hit thoughts on the wide receiver position. In short, or in summation, oh, and I know we touched on him, but Zay Flowers is going to be a steal for somebody in the NFL draft, and will be somebody I will target with regularity in rookie drafts. So get in on Zay Flowers early. He's a very, very good player, and I hope he lands in a spot that utilizes him properly and sees him get a fun workload. But the 2023 draft, while it's got kind of headline running back talent and some familiar names with running back, and, you know, quarterback is undoubtedly better than it was a year ago, with the two locks, and not locks is how they translate, but the two locks to be early draft picks and Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, but you have Will Levis. Does somebody like Anthony Richardson declare? Hendon Hooker's had a great season, and I don't know how long we could just not like Hendon Hooker because he's old. I think if Kenny Pickett could go in round one last year, show me the reason Hendon Hooker can't this year. But we'll see what happens. I don't think he's a lock for a first-round draft pick, but crazier things have happened. And demand at quarterback will be there. There are plenty of teams that will be looking to solve their current answer at quarterback or looking to prepare for that transition in the not-so-distant future from moving on from whoever their current quarterback is. And for all those reasons, maybe round one in rookie drafts isn't littered with wide receiver picks like it feels like it's been for the past couple of years. But I would wager that by the time rookie draft season really rolls around, in the back half of round one and through the top half of round two, there's going to be some really nice value to be had on players that are really exciting. And when we know landing spots and all that stuff, there'll be plenty to dive into about their utilization and what sort of playing time they can be in store for. But it's a long way to say that I think despite maybe not having that sort of headline buzz at wide receiver, this is still a good wide receiver class, even if people think that JSN disappointed this year or that, you know, Kayshon Boutte is disappointed or that you didn't get a bigger year out of Quentin Johnston. There's still a lot to be excited about at the wide receiver position, and I'm very, very interested to see how it all shakes out by the end of college football and when the pre-draft process really ramps up and kicks off. So you know that we'll be here with new episodes along the way to dive further in depth on specific players once the college season's done. We really kind of ramp into evaluation season and getting ready for the NFL draft and all that fun stuff, but always fun to kind of keep tabs on where things are trending as college football is winding down. And, you know, we know some teams in the NFL that are also not very good, and they'll be picking towards the top of the draft and trying to start making those matches for the players and where we hope they end up. So make sure you keep it locked in here on the Dynasty Drive feed for everything that you need to know regarding the 2023 rookie class and plenty of other stuff as well. So we'll be back next week with another episode of the show. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, if you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter @DynastyDrive. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.